I think the key is somebody that's done fractional before. Not just that they've been a see this or see that, but have they done fractional? It's different to be a fractional leader than a full-time leader. So the key is, have they had that experience before? What was the outcome and impact of that organization? And what did that organization tell you?
Good morning, HR. I'm Mike Coffey, president of Imperative. Bulletproof background checks with fast and friendly service. And this is the podcast where I talk to business leaders about bringing people together to create value for shareholders, customers, and the community. Please follow, rate, and review Good Morning HR wherever you get your podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or at goodmorninghr.com. Sometimes a business's need for leadership in a certain domain outpaces their ability to recruit and hire, or maybe just pay for that leadership. Enter the fractional executive. Whether it is part-time or full-time, short-term or long-term, many companies are turning to fractional executives to lend them the leadership and experience they need. And joining me today to discuss how businesses use fractional executives and how best to evaluate when to use a fractional executive is Neil Katz. Neil is the CEO and founder of Exceptional HR Solutions, an advising, consulting, and executive coaching company supporting leaders and companies in solving their people needs. Neil has over 25 years of expertise in the C-suite and coaching and guiding C-suite leaders as they navigate business and people strategy. His diverse experience includes retail, healthcare, manufacturing, telecom, and startups. Welcome to Good Morning HR, Neil.
Mike, thanks so much for having me. Super excited about being here. Been wanting to be on your podcast for a while now.
Well, I'm glad you finally made it. So let's talk about fractional leaders. The first time I heard that term was probably 15 years ago, and it was a marketing company, and they did fractional chief marketing officers, CMOs. And as I dug deeper into it, they weren't really acting as an executive level position. It was just more of another brand for a consultant. So when you're talking, what's the difference between just a regular consultant that you might hire to help you on a project and a fractional leader?
Mike, great question. And we get this question all the time is, what's the difference between the two? To me, and what I characterize it as, fractional is truly somebody fractional, part-time. Somebody that can work anywhere from 5 hours a week to 25 hours a week to 5 hours a month. It's truly, quote unquote, part-time, fractional, that just small amount of need to fill an opportunity, a project, an initiative, a program, help scale something out. But the great advantage is you're getting 10, 15, 20, 30 years of experience on a fractional basis and a fractional cost.
So what is a fractional leader's typical scope of control? Am I bringing somebody in and putting them in charge of a piece of my business, or, you know, are they just advising? How does that typically work?
Well, Mike, there's great variations here when it comes to fractional. There's generally what we're seeing is two groups of fractionals. The group one, which is the ones that will come in and run your business or run a segment of or section of your business on a fractional basis, marketing, finance, accounting, HR, legal. Those are the fractional groups that we're seeing pretty common in the marketplace today, where they come in and will run that section of your business. Additionally, we'll also see it sometimes where they'll come in and work on a specific project or a program, a merger and acquisition, a system integration, something of that nature, and they will come in and support that project or initiative, but they're not necessarily going to be running the organizational structure for one of those disciplines, such as HR, legal, compliance, marketing, sales, something of that nature.
And we use a firm as our fractional CFO, basically. And they know my business at a really deep level, relative to even my own accountants. I mean, because they sit in, we have a monthly meeting with them and my senior team, and they ask the hard questions that I often don't want to answer, or I've avoided answering for the past month. And they understand the business, where I know perhaps I could get my accountant up to that speed, but I don't know that my accountant necessarily has the experience in companies our size, crossing the horizons that we're crossing and all of that. They can do the block and tackling of our taxes and that kind of stuff. But so there are kind of a balance between knowing our company and kind of knowing the personalities and understanding some of that, and also giving us really practical experience. So is that typical, or do most of these, you know, after they've been around a while, if they stick around, you know, if it's a longer engagement, do they really become part of that senior team often?
Mike, they really do. And a great fractional leader is going to come in and truly be part of your team. The difference is they're not going to be there 40 hours a week. They're not going to be there Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 or 8 to 9 or whatever time it is. But a great fractional leader will come in and do exactly picture perfect what you just described. Ask you the hard hitting questions, learn your business, understand what you do, understand the team, the players. All of those components, a good fractional executive will do that. And again, the advantage is they could do it in less time because they do have the depth of experience, the practice of doing this. They've worked in multiple companies across multiple industries. They're tenured at this. This is what they know. I always say I can walk into a company and whether I'm there an hour or 40 hours, as long as I'm doing a good job with you, I can understand your business and help you. And that's the advantage to the fractional workplace today, is you don't need to have somebody 40 hours a week, especially in certain size organizations.
You know, in HR and probably marketing are the two biggest areas where as soon as someone gets laid off, they become a consultant. Their LinkedIn is automatically updated, and until they get their next gig, they're going to be a consultant. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I know a lot of really competent HR people who've brought value to our clients in those interim periods. But that's, you know, they're not really acting in that case as a, you know, they're doing, you know, short-term task work usually, you know, and we need our handbook updated, or, you know, will you look at our policies and help us freshen those? What kind of person, I mean, is there a personality type or something unique that tends to attract fractional work, that fractional leadership role?
So I think two things, Mike. First thing I would say is generally it's the years of experience. So you are right. When somebody is in transition or they need a break or something's happened in their life, they'll go into consulting. And they're great consultants. They're skilled. They're competent. They add value and impact to the organization. To me, a fractional executive is that person that really has spent probably, I'd say, 10 plus, if not 15 plus years of experience in the market and truly understands it. I think what makes a great fractional executive is they've hit a point in their career that they want to take all of that experience and add it into companies that are looking to scale and grow those departments or functions. Generally, what we're seeing in fractional is people that have been in corporate America for 15 plus years, and they're looking for their next opportunity to make an impact. When you're with an organization for 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 years, your impact seems to go down to some degree just because the organization's not transitioning and evolving at such the pace it was early on. So a lot of these folks will go into fractional because you get to go into an organization like yours and others that is looking for rapid change, impact, and evolution of what they are. And a lot of these fractional executives, including myself, and the main reason I went into fractional was to join companies and make a difference in their HR function. I could do that with a company for 5 to 10 years, but after that period of time, you're not making the same level of impact. Today, I can go in an organization and completely overhaul and build out and build up an HR department in 6 months to a year. You can't do that in generally a functioning organization today.
And so typically these folks who are fractional leaders have already been in a leadership role at a higher level in another organization. And so they're just, and I totally get what you said about wanting to make a quick, the only way if heaven forbid, you know, they made what we do and all the things I do illegal tomorrow and I had to go get a real job, I would have a really hard time. I think the only environment I would ever probably really be happy in is if it was a startup and I got to do the startup HR piece, the people piece from scratch, with the support of, you know, good admins who could actually write the employee handbook, because I don't have that patience left in me. But that's the only environment. So I can see that somebody with a lot of experience wouldn't want to get necessarily back, you know, or may not want to get back in the day-to-day whether it's accounting, marketing, that, you know, HR, whatever, the daily grind of HR, but would like to come in, light a fire under some folks, give some creative insight into how to run the organization, and then, you know, set them up for success, help them get the right people in place, and then move on.
That's exactly it, is the ability to make that impact. And generally, you can go in, like I said, within the first 3, 6, 12 months and have a very profound impact. And what's really great is, depends on the relationships you build with these organizations. Some of them are long-term, where you'll stay on 15 hours a week, 5 hours a month, whatever the criteria or the need of that business is, you could stay on as long as they need you to. But what's great is you can build a team that operates the daily business then, and you stay in a fractional capacity, more of a strategic level. So what I always say is, I come in for 6 months to a year, year maybe two, build out the foundation, build out the functions, processes, and systems, bring in a HR individual to run the daily operations, and then I'll move into a strategic level and really help that organization drive the people strategy for the next 3 to 5 years.
And so are fractional leaders generally engaged in more than one client at any given time? So they may, you know, because if we're only talking a handful of hours a week, I don't think they're all playing golf every Tuesday through Friday, but.
No, generally speaking, what I'm seeing in general is anywhere from 1 to 3 clients at a time, based on the client workload. Anything more than 3 clients is just a lot. And I say that even if the clients are 5 to 10 hours, it's just the work you have to invest, the time, the energy, the knowledge you have to gain from those industries and those organizations. Most fractionals will go up to 3. Anything more just gets to be a bit of a drain, and it's a lot of work.
Do most of the time these fractional leaders, are they working for, you know, for lack of a better term, a staffing kind of firm or of that, you know, places fractional folks and being paid through them, or are they being paid directly either by the employer, I guess, either as a W-2 or 1099, or how does that work?
Sure. Generally, what we're seeing initially, we've seen a lot of independent fractionals, which is it's a 1099 working one-on-one with an organization. Generally, they're not W-2s. They're usually 1099s on pretty standard practice. So we're seeing that to be the common. Now, what we're starting to see is some growth in not staffing firms, but consulting firms like mine. Mm-hmm. I have 15 consultants that work with me today. And the reality of what we've learned is great consultants, great fractionals, candidly are really good at what they do. The one thing they don't like is business development.
Running their own, going in and doing the sales piece. Yeah,
and running the business, as you said, too. Right, yeah, the two things that no one likes to do is run the operational components and business development. So what we're starting to see is an elevation in the number of firms that provide clients to these folks. We provide the infrastructure, the client base, everything they need so that they can really just focus on the client and not have to worry about the rest of it.
And given the DOL's latest and probably most clarifying interpretation of the 1099 independent contractor rule, I would be hesitant today as an employer to hire very long term for much more than just any short term project a professional who was going to provide services that were integral to my business, including accounting or HR, as a 1099 employee. Because that's all great, you know, and everybody's happy. But as soon as somebody's not happy, suddenly you may end up with some taxes due.
And that's the reason you want to stay away from that. If you're going to be long-term engagements with a 1099 on a fractional basis, I'd probably do it through a firm like mine, because the reality is we have the luxury and the ability to kind of segregate those components. The fractional consultant comes in with their own equipment. They have their own flexibility in scheduling. Many of the criteria the DOL has put in place, we've protected against. And we'll continue to work to evolve that as the interpretations in the court cases kind of bring some clarity to that message. As we know, the message is not as crystal clear as we'd like it yet, but give it some time, it'll get there.
And so people are using, companies are using these fractional leaders for short-term projects, and then, like you said, longer ones, but also for mentorship or coaching for executives, you know, just to bring in maybe an outside perspective. So you've got, that's what we find so valuable with, you know, both with my financial guys, but also with we're on the entrepreneurial operating system, EOS, and using that, I've got a fractional integrator who comes in, facilitates our quarterly planning, is a resource for me throughout the quarter for any things that come up, or my team, and just gives us that outside perspective. She's got amazing deep experience in a lot of different industries, and is my go-to for anytime somebody asks me, you know, I want to implement an EOS, who do I talk to? And I'll always send them to Linda. But so that outside perspective is really valuable. But if I'm a company and I'm thinking about, okay, I need help in marketing, or I need help in wherever in the organization, where, how do I assess whether what I need is, you know, just to hire a consulting firm and just give them this project and have them run with it versus really bringing in a fractional leader?
So, Mike, great question. And what it comes down to is this, is actually I would bring them in for the project at first. Let them show you their outcomes, their impact, their experiences, letting them learn the organization. And based on their skills, performance, results, that's when you can say, wow, Mike's done a great job in marketing. You know what? Hey, Mike, we'd like to keep you on in a fractional basis to help us because you've had some really great impact with our marketing team. And we'd like you to stay in a marketing manager, marketing director, CMO role, whatever the background aligns to, and let them come in. I always say a project's a great place to start, and then let them come in on a fractional basis. And what you talked about a minute ago, which is spot on, which is the ability to bring in a fractional executive to coach and mentor and guide the team on a fractional basis. We have three clients today that we're doing this with, where we support their current team in-house with their growth and development journey, because we've seen it, we've done it. 25 years of the same industry, not much is gonna surprise you. Every once in a while, right. But generally speaking, it's not going to surprise us anymore. And because of that, that's an advantage to that fractional, is the ability to support and guide. And then if the organization is looking to continue to grow and scale, and they need somebody that's done multiple M&As and things of that nature, you get all of that experience on the fractional basis.
So take them for a test drive and see how that works. And, you know, are they competent, but also do they get our culture? Do they work well with our team? And what drag do they bring, you know, or lift? And so,
exactly.
And then once you get them in there, but okay. So if we need them and we've made that realization and we're willing to, I'm assuming, and I know from my experience, I certainly pay a premium if I look at it on an hourly basis for what I would probably pay for somebody, on a permanent long-term basis, first annual salary versus what I pay for the handful of hours, you know, cause I'm buying, you know, there's just an efficiency there that's lost. Is there a standard that you would expect a markup for, you know, when I'm comparing the market wages for a role, but I'm talking about bringing them in as a fractional?
So here's the thing, the old fashioned adage still holds true. You get what you pay for. So yes, there's going to be a markup. Yes, you're going to pay more for these folks than you would probably think if you took their hourly rate and multiply it. Remember, you're paying for the fractional. If you're going through a group like mine, there's a markup on that mm-hmm. to offset my operating expenses, things of that nature. So it does cost more, absolutely. But as the old-fashioned adage goes, you do get what you pay for. And you look and say, what can they deliver in an hour? And what can that other person deliver in 5 hours. Generally speaking, if you get the right fractional, they can deliver most of anything pretty efficiently and quickly. They've done this before. It's not their first time.
And let's take a quick break. Good Morning HR is brought to you by Imperative, bulletproof background checks with fast and friendly service. For 25 years, Imperative has helped risk-averse clients make well-informed decisions about the people they involve in their business. Whether that means very thorough pre-employment background checks, due diligence for family offices or private equity firms, or any other kind of business transaction, if there are people involved, there's risk involved. We help businesses mitigate that risk. You can learn more at imperativeinfo.com. If you're an HRCI or SHRM certified professional, this episode of Good Morning HR has been pre-approved for 1/2 hour of recertification credit. To obtain the recertification information, visit goodmorninghr.com and click on Research Credits. Then select episode 143 and enter the keyword CATS. That's K-A-T-Z. And if you're looking for even more recertification credit, check out the webinars page at imperativeinfo.com. And now back to my conversation with Neil Katz. So how do I find somebody? Let's say I'm looking for a chief marketing officer on a fractional basis. I just need to get my marketing's kind of a mess and we're going in different directions. We're really not targeted in on our ideal customer. How do I go find that person? Where does that come from?
Two places. One, LinkedIn, as we all know, is a great resource. There's plenty of great fractional chief marketing officers. What we're starting to see in the second part really is the teams that offer the service. So they've vetted them. They've ensured they have the competency, the skills, the background. They've done all the work. It's, hey, Neil, do you have a CMO you can get me? Sure, let me get you 2 or 3 people. Give me a couple of days. I'm ready to go. Most other fractionals will have a network of people. For myself, I use the best example. Name an industry that you're looking for a fractional. I probably saw somebody in my book to help and support, because the reality is this. We know companies at this point in time are really capitalizing on the fractional roles. So we've built our networks, chief legal officer, chief revenue officer, chief sales officer, chief marketing, put a C with it. There's a fractional to it. And what we're finding, what we're starting to see early in the evolution of fractional is we're starting to see segments of fractionals within the fractionals. So an example is chief marketing officers that specialize in digital.
Okay.
Chief legal officers that specialize in being chief legal officers for in-house. Then you have the legal side of where they do contracts. So you're starting to see segmented functions within the fractional realm themselves based on the organizational needs.
Are there associations out there just for fractional executives, or are they just pretty much sticking in the SHRM or whatever the marketing association is, or those kind of groups?
There's 2 or 3 fractional groups that are starting to build themselves out. Not strong yet, but they have years to go. If you look at SHRM, it'll take years to catch up to SHRM and some of these other groups that they're in. But yes, we're starting to see some groups coming together and trying to partner the teams together so that it's more of a society you can go to and go, here's a database or a directory of all the CMOs. Not yet. And I think we have quite a few years ahead of us to pull all of that together.
So if I've got it, let's say I've got 3 or 4 candidates and I'm trying to evaluate them, anything unique other than just what I would look for if I were hiring an executive in general, anything unique I should be looking for when I'm talking to a fractional leader?
I think the key is somebody that's done fractional before, not just that they've been a see this or see that, but have they done fractional? It's different to be a fractional leader than a full-time leader. So the key is, have they had that experience before? What was the outcome and impact of that organization? And what did that organization tell you? Because I've seen a lot of great executives will come out and say, I want to be fractional, but they've never done it. And to become a fractional leader, it takes time. You have to understand the client's needs, and you serve clients differently as a fractional leader than you would as a full-time leader.
And tell me if I'm wrong, but my guess would be that leader who's got extreme attention to detail, almost to the point of maybe micromanaging, or really wants to touch all of the carrots in the basket, may not be ideal for a fractional role because of just the shorter time period that they're committing to the organization.
Exactly, spot on. And I think that's what I was referring to somewhat earlier, was saying you need to have fractional leaders that when you're interviewing that have done this before, because it's a different need. You're not there 20, you're not there 40 hours a week. You're maybe 20, maybe 10, maybe 5. So how do you make a positive, lasting impact? Quickly learn an organization, assess and evaluate people, and move the needle and get results. Those are all some key criteria and sounds simple, but it's very different than what you're used to doing. And I always say, I've seen executives transition from being an executive to a fractional leader. It just takes time. So just know that the longer they've been doing it, the more value, the more efficiency, the better influence and impact they have on those organizations.
If they're going to be, you know, we know this is going to be a, you know, we're planning this out for a 6-month relationship or even maybe a 12-month relationship with, you know, a handful of hours each week or something. How important is culture fit? Is this an area where I can rely more heavily on competencies? And because I'm really just trying to extract that expertise, or is culture fit still a pretty important element in finding the right person?
I think culture fit's always going to be important, but I don't think it's as important if it's a defined project. And the reason I say that is defined projects, it's 6 months, we need to do from A to B and we'll be done and that's it. And maybe it'll go on for an extra 30 days. Okay. Culture fit becomes probably a little less. The challenge we see is like for my group and my teams, we generally will go in and we don't have an end date. So when you don't have a defined end date, I think culture is going to be critically important because you are an extension of that organization. Part-time, fractional, you're representing the organization when you are there, when you're communicating with them after and before. So because of that, culture fit, I think, is on the non-defined period sometimes of contracts, culture fits can be very important. Because just with anything, you want to bring in somebody that represents you and the culture. Also, it's also an opportunity to change and evolve the culture in teams. So if you're looking, you've lost a leader, and we see this a lot where organizations will bring us in when a leader has left, they're hiring, they want more time to hire. As we all know, hiring is not easy. So look, if you want to add 3, 4, 5 months to your hiring timeline so you can really vet out the right candidates, bring in a fractional for a 3 to 6 month contract. But if you want to evolve some things in that period of time, bring in that person that aligns with the evolution of what you're trying to achieve. Because this is a great opportunity to make some pretty short, quick changes before that next leader comes in.
Yeah, and I can totally see if I'm the leader of the organization, CEO, founder, I'm probably a generalist in a lot of areas, but I may not have the expertise to really know if I'm hiring a CFO what to ask. And so if I've got a fractional who's worked alongside, understands the company, has got the you know, the skins on the wall, the credit behind them to, you know, demonstrate that they really know it, I feel a lot more comfortable if they're in those interviews with in helping me select that permanent placement.
Exactly. And so the great thing with a fractional in that realm is you have a CFO that's a fractional CFO. They should be able to do the first or second or maybe the third interview for you. And really at the end of it, the CEO and founder truly would be the culture fit assessment. You don't have to worry about the competency as much. Your recruiter will do the first round, CFO, your fractional CFO does the second, and then you do the third as the founder CEO. And guess what? What's great about that is you're looking for culture. Everybody else has done all the other testing. Yeah, you might ask a few questions, but it's a really nice skill to have that level of expertise. And I'll tell you, it gives organizations less pressure. Let's be real. No organization wants an open seat at a C level or an executive level, but a great substitute kind of interim is put the interim in place, put that fractional in place so that you have some time. You have somebody managing the ship for you. You're not going to go off course. And you know what? They can take care of it until you have that opportunity to find just the right candidate to fit the role.
So I would guess that it varies from organization to organization, but how often are these fractional executives actually, you know, leading, managing, and holding accountable actual employees of the company? If Joe didn't meet his expectations this month, or he's late to work, or he's just not performing, who's typically handling those performance management issues for that person who ostensibly is, you know, working under that fractional executive?
Generally, if it's done right, it's the fractional executive. I mean, they are still a representative of the company. They're being paid on behalf of the company. Mm-hmm. There's no reason they can't manage the performance. Yes, would if a termination came down to it, yes, I'd have the HR team or a employee of the organization do that. But besides that, it's no different. Leadership is still leadership and how you structure it and how you hold them accountable. And again, great opportunity if you have an underperformer or somebody that needs some really focused growth and development to allow that fractional to let them grow and develop them in that journey before the next leader comes in.
So we're running up on time, but one last question, and I've seen this mostly with long-term consultants. There comes a time where the company's ready to move on, either hire somebody full-time or we found our fill, and we've got to separate this relationship. And I think it, you know, especially when it's somebody you really like working with, but it's just, you know, I've got to make the investment now in a full-time equivalent versus the consulting. Any advice for making those breakups easier on everybody involved?
Yeah, I think the greatest way to do that is start laying the foundation early. Start letting that fractional know, look, you know what? We're looking at Q3 to probably bring in some that next person to fill this role. We want to let you know. And just start laying that foundation and start moving some things to other people. Things of that nature really kind of help soften the blow. The other thing is that if they've done, and I would assume they've done a good job for you, have a celebratory party. Celebrate their success and impact with the organization. Send them in a good way. And there's a fair number of organizations that actually will take that fractional person. Maybe they were working 15, 20 hours a week. And what they'll do is they'll convert them to 5 hours a month and truly become a strategist to support that new leader coming in, ensuring that new leader's onboarding has been effective, giving that new leader a little bit more time to actually onboard well, and then just support them in the longer term initiatives rather than fully exiting them. So that's another option to consider too, is just decrease the amount of hours and scope over time. So it just, it's kind of a gradual decrease rather than a very harsh closeout.
Speaking of closeout, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining me, Neil.
Mike, thank you. It's been so much fun. Great opportunity to chat with you, and I'm glad I finally made it to your podcast.
Well, thanks for being here. And thank you for listening. You can comment on this episode or search our previous episodes at goodmorninghr.com or on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. And don't forget to follow us wherever you get your podcast. Rob Upchurch is our technical producer, and you can reach him at robmakespods.com. And thank you to Imperatives Marketing Coordinator Marianne Hernandez, who keeps the trains running on time. And I'm Mike Coffey. As always, don't hesitate to reach out if I can be of service to you personally or professionally. I'll see you next week, and until then, be well, do good, and keep your chin up.